This is Senator Al Simpson. We're taking some strong action to track the source of medical waste washing up on our East Coast shores. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, medical wastes, including hypodermic needles, blood vials, and bandages, are washing up on our eastern beaches. The Senate has given a firm thumbs up to enforcement mechanisms needed to bring a halt to this illegal dumping. Anyone who continues this senseless activity will be punished to the full letter of the law. The EPA has been directed to establish a project that will carefully track medical wastes at all points, generators, haulers, treaters, and storers. But the EPA isn't in this one alone. The states of New York and New Jersey should be encouraged to stop all ocean dumping, and it's still happening right now under a legal exception that just should not be allowed. We're all in this one, Ted, and the solution has to come from federal, state, and local governments working together.
Al, On the Beach has a new meaning in the summer of 88. The whole country is shocked by the disgusting reports of hospital waste washing up on the East Coast's most beautiful beaches. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency dropped the ball, Al. The same sort of garbage washed up last year and nothing happened. Now the beaches are even more of a disaster and people are afraid for their health. So Congress is using a 2x4 on EPA, enacting new legislation forcing the agency to crack down on hospital waste. We need tough penalties on illegal dumpers and fly-by-night operators who shave costs by dumping waste in the ocean instead of incinerating it as required. In the big picture, Al, medical waste on the beaches is just one more sign that our environment is out of control and one more reason why we need a new administration to give this crisis the priority it deserves. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Fair Housing, the newest civil right. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The 20-year logjam on fair housing is finally broken. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, solid bipartisan work on civil rights has finally paid off. A compromise with broad support in Congress and the administration has broken a 20-year logjam on fair housing. Since 1968, the basic federal housing statute has been more loophole than law. Every year, millions of Americans suffer flagrant discrimination when they try to buy a home or rent an apartment. The problem is, the remedies under current law are a toothless tiger. They're cumbersome and archaic, and they've made fair housing an empty right. For 20 years, Al, you right-wingers unfairly filibustered every attempt to strengthen the law. Your anti-civil rights kamikaze brigade even tried one last stand in the Senate against the bill. But it turned out your troops had no stomach for that foolish fight, and the filibuster collapsed. Welcome to civil rights, Al. You've come a long way, baby, but it's good to have you aboard.
I was aboard before the ship left the dock. We have a new fair housing law in this country because some thoughtful Republicans and Democrats worked together, Ted. We needed to put some teeth into the existing law. We did just that, protecting the rights of property owners and ensuring the rights of those on the search for a place to live. We can both acknowledge the amazing team effort that went into this one. President Reagan added his considerable weight and support. America's realtors helped us reach a workable compromise. It's the spirit of reason and compromise that must prevail whenever important civil rights laws are considered. In recent months, Republicans and Democrats have stood side by side to pass an extension of the voting rights law, the Grove City Bill, and now fair housing. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again next on the Michael Dukakis Furlough Program for Hardened Criminals. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. As Michael Dukakis comes into ever closer focus, folks are getting just plain frightened. Ted Kennedy will be again defending his Massachusetts buddy when we face off in a moment. Ted, I'm rambling around Wyoming a bit during this congressional recess. You might be interested in what I'm hearing out here in the real world. Folks are very concerned about preserving their way of life. They talk earnestly about the war on drugs and crime in the streets, and they are really astonished when I tell them about the furlough program Dukakis promoted to aid the most hardened of criminals. Under his program, 62 prisoners have now escaped their captors. That includes 10 murderers and 9 rapists. One of those lunks murdered some innocent people while on his Dukakis leave. But Dukakis defends the program and the criminals. He has more compassion for those worthies than for their victims. That's the kind of goofy liberal left-wing philosophy that is spooking them up out there beyond the Washington Beltway, Ted.
There you go again, Al, popping off long distance on Massachusetts when you don't know the facts. Mike Dukakis has a solid record of achievement on crime. In the most recent five-year period, crime is up 2% in the nation, but down 13% in Massachusetts. The prison furlough system you're complaining about, Al, is modeled on similar programs in 35 states. Even the federal government has a furlough program. Last year, the Reagan administration handed out furloughs to 2,000 narcotics criminals, including convicted cocaine distributors who went right back to the streets to peddle their drugs. Bad apples crop up in any furlough program, Al, but that doesn't mean the whole barrel's gone bad. Experts agree that furloughs are among the best and only ways to reduce overcrowding in prisons. One thing for sure on crime, Al, in a Mike Dukakis White House, we won't see another Ed Meese as Attorney General. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on voter registration. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Voter registration laws are a national disgrace. Does Senator Al Simpson like them that way? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, as the election campaign heats up, a chronic problem of American democracy comes into focus again. Archaic laws that cut voter turnout by making voter registration an obstacle course for millions of Americans. Too often, registration offices aren't accessible. Either they're located too far downtown, or they're not open on weekends or evenings, or even at lunch hour. Sometimes they shut down months before Election Day. Year after year, we tolerate restrictions that no other democracy in the world would accept, Al. It's preposterous in the computer age that we still register voters by Stone Age techniques. No wonder turnout on Election Day is so low. If people can't register, they can't vote. Can't we agree that it's time for a change? Both parties win, and democracy wins too, when registration is used to invite voters in instead of locking them out.
Ted, you're on the right track, but as usual, it goes around the bend and out into left field. Voters aren't turning out because they're turned off by all of the goofy stuff in the campaign process. They are offended by candidates who say nothing and never give an honest answer. They want to see the kind of campaign and PAC reform proposed by Republican Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. But since the Democrats control the Senate agenda, you won't let us have a vote on it. Ronald Reagan has crowded more voters into the voting booth than any recent candidate. He gave voters a reason to be excited and enthused. He stood for something. We need to give voters a reason to vote, and that won't happen with some simple-minded change where we have roving banks of registrars out trying to sign up names on tombstones. Give them candidates who don't BS them, and they'll vote. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Michael Dukakis's Pollution of Boston Harbor. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy's a pretty wily old cat. We've got to watch what he and Michael Dukakis do, not what they say. The environment is a darn good example. Ted and I will face off in a moment. Ted, your guy, the glib and ever-evasive Phantom Dukakis, pays only lip service to environmental issues, because back home he is solely responsible for the foul situation right there in his own Boston Harbor. He can really walk on water, on the sludge in that harbor. As governor, he applied for all sorts of delays and waivers to slow down the cleanup. Finally, through the courts, the federal government forced Dukakis to shut up and clean up. He offered the bum excuse that the pollution was already there. That doesn't matter a whit. He alibied at every stage in the cleanup. So when I see Dukakis talking sanctimoniously about our environment, I have to chuckle and ask what he's done. And when it came to his very own backyard, he sure fouled his own nest.
Al, you're a long way from your home on the range. You don't know much about Massachusetts or anything about Boston Harbor. We're solving that problem, Al, and we wouldn't be doing nearly as well without the leadership of Governor Dukakis. He recognized that past policies had failed, and he made Boston Harbor his top environmental priority. When did anyone in the Reagan administration ever give top priority to anything in the environment, Al? Mike Dukakis did. He created a streamlined agency to expedite the cleanup. He worked closely with Congress to make the federal government cough up its fair share. If environment's your issue, Al, Mike Dukakis is your president. Boston Harbor is just one more example of his making things work. That's more than you can say for your crowd, Al. If George Bush ever hopes to get away from the flagrant anti-environment record of your administration, he'll have to become an escape artist. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the United States unpaid debt to the United Nations. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The United States is behind in its debt to the United Nations. It's time to pay up. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Reagan administration made a foolish mistake in 1985 when it refused to pay our annual assessment to the United Nations. The White House buckled to the isolationists who would like nothing better than to see the UN go the way of the passenger pigeon and the League of Nations. We're $44 million in the hole to the UN for the current year, Al, and we owe hundreds of millions in past assessments. Ironically, Al, the U.S. refuses to pay its bills, but the UN is proving its worth. It played a key role in helping the Russians find the exit in Afghanistan, and now it's in the thick of negotiations to halt the brutal war between Iran and Iraq. If there wasn't a UN, Al, we'd have to invent it. So why are you right-wingers making Uncle Sam the deadbeat of the Western world?
Calm your heaving bosom, Ted. Before the end of this year, the United States will pay up the $144 million. That's our bill for the current calendar year, and ever since the UN began, that's just the way we've always done it. You forget a tiny point, Ted. Congress, Democrat-controlled, not the Reagan administration, has required withholding of U.S. payments for programs relating to the PLO, Cuba, SWAPO, and other programs we just do not support. This year, for example, Reagan asked for $571 million for the UN, yet Congress appropriated just $480 million. And in one of the UN's most important programs, the peacekeeping account, Congress has left us $65 million behind. You were there. And while we're chatting about UN funding, you might recall your own vote to cut the World Health Organization in half. That puts it in perspective now, doesn't it, Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on fraud in an agricultural worker program. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. We're seeing some widespread fraud in a program designed to ensure an adequate agricultural workforce. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, we passed a very generous immigration law 2 years ago. The perishable crop industry howled like a coyote at the prospect, so we enacted a special program for them that allowed them to hire foreign workers, and then we even agreed to legalize those workers. There have been 740,000 applications for legal status under the program. Thoughtful agricultural experts now believe that 50% of those applications might be fraudulent. The integrity of our immigration policy demands that we correct the fraud in this program, Ted. We should be about requiring that those seeking legalization under the program clearly prove their own eligibility, and we must give the INS the resources they need to investigate and prosecute this abuse. Won't you join me?
Al, there are flagrant abuses in that foreign worker program, and they need to be stopped. Meet me halfway, Al. I'll help you deal with fraud in foreign applications, and you help me deal with fraud on American farm workers. Foreign field workers who enter the U.S. and work for slave wages are stealing the livelihood of American farm workers, Al. With drought in the heartland and fewer crops to harvest, our own workers are worse off than ever. Federal laws on wages and conditions in the fields are too weak, Al, and the ones that exist are too seldom enforced. It's taken years even to get regulations on the books to require decent sanitary facilities in the fields, and facilities themselves still aren't in place. The harvest of shame is alive and well in American agriculture. Cry fraud about farm workers all you want, Al, but let's deal with the desperate plight of our own workers, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on illiteracy, a national disgrace. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Illiteracy is one of our most pressing national challenges. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, 27 million fellow citizens can't read at all, or read so badly they can't function in society. That means they can't read a headline in a newspaper, their child's report card, or a warning label on a can of pesticide at home. 75% of the unemployed can't read. It's the principal reason they're out of work and out of hope. The United States ranks 49th among the 156 countries of the world in literacy. We've dropped 18 places since 1950. One solution I've proposed, Al, doesn't cost a penny. It's a national literacy corps made up of college students who teach reading in public schools and adult literacy centers in return for credit in their courses. It's already making a difference in Massachusetts. It can make a difference in other states. Read my lips, Al, and ask your alma mater, the School of Hard Knocks, to sign up too.
Read your lips? I didn't graduate summa cum laude from the College of Hard Knocks. I graduated thank the laude. Whoever said a leopard can't change his spots? But here you are now, Ted, finally advocating a program that blends public initiative with a minimum of federal treasury bucks. This is just the kind of innovative volunteerism traditionally advocated by we Reagan Republicans. We're sure glad to have you aboard, Ted. The Senate has already endorsed this valuable program. The academic end of the program will be self-sustaining, since the universities and colleges will receive tuition from the student enrolled in the program. A distressing number of Americans cannot read or write well enough to participate in the most basic of our economic and social activities. Why don't the two of us work to assure that funding for this program goes out to each of the 50 states, and we'll make the Literacy Corps a sure winner. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The results of a recent national geography test are disturbing and saddening, to say the least. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, when you rant and rail about contra aid, half of the American people don't realize that fight for freedom is going on in Nicaragua, that Central American country to our south, the Persian Gulf. Well, 3/4 of Americans wouldn't be able to find it on a world map. The highly loved and respected magazine, The National Geographic, sponsored the test. The results show, too, that 1 of 5 Americans believe that the Soviet Union is a member of NATO, the military alliance forged by the West after World War II to protect against possible attack by who? You guessed it. That kind of ignorance cannot be chuckled away, Ted. Let's get America's teachers to teach basic geography. And let's manage to do that without panic or trotting out one of your grandiose budget-busting schemes.
Just like you, Al, don't solve a problem unless you solve it on the cheap. The National Geography Test proves what's wrong with Reaganomics and your misguided cuts in education. Hypocrisy. Thy name is Simpson. This administration has been the most anti-education administration in modern history. Year after year, you tried to slash funds for education, and then you complain that students aren't learning, teachers aren't teaching, and schools aren't trying. Geographic illiteracy is one part of the problem, Al. It's shocking to hear that high school students can't find the United States on a world map, let alone Europe, Japan, or the Soviet Union. It's an ominous sign that the next generation won't be ready to deal with other countries and other cultures. The same problem exists in other disciplines, Al, especially in reading, math, science, and foreign language. We need to close these education gaps, Al, even if we have to spend more to do it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Equal Rights for Women and the Republican Gender Gap. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Republicans have a problem on women's issues. Does that mean Senator Al Simpson will support ERA? Don't bet the Constitution on it. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, you Republicans keep stumbling over rights for women. Last month, Vice President Bush addressed a national organization of business and professional women. He got a warm reception for his proposal on better child care, but he got a very chilly response for opposing ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. The Vice President's problem, Al, is that he's been on both sides of ERA. He used to be on the right side, but after he became Vice President, he flipped to the far right side. With curious positions like that, Al, it's no wonder Republicans are looking at the short end of the gender gap. Why would any woman support a candidate who thinks women don't deserve equal rights? ERA is simple justice, Al. Mike Dukakis will help make it part of the Constitution, but George Bush won't. What's he doing, Al? Angling for the male chauvinist vote?
Come out of the cave, Ted. The Equal Rights Amendment faded off the screen years ago when the individual states refused to ratify it. George Bush didn't have a whit to do with it. Women today are putting some real issues at the top of their agenda. Equal pay for equal work, quality child care choices, ending sexual harassment in the workplace. They care about the key pocketbook issues, and they want world peace. You give them a paternalistic short shrift with your pathetic resurrection of the ERA. They don't want to burn bras, they want to burn the mortgage. George Bush has addressed their issues head-on with very specific proposals. He was one of the first ones to present a child care program that offered women some real choices, whether they work at home or in an office. Stick with the issues, Ted. Stop patronizing women. They're sharper than that. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. It's Labor Day, and appropriately enough, Congress returns this week to take up the minimum wage. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, this week begins the final four weeks before Congress adjourns for the election. There's plenty of unfinished business, but high on the list is a long overdue measure to raise the minimum wage. You'd be for it too, Al, if you could see through all the business anti-worker propaganda. No one fears more for the future of the country than a well-paid executive raising the minimum wage for his lowest-paid employees. Those workers haven't had a raise since 1981, Al. The minimum wage is sub-poverty pay. It's been stuck at $3.35 an hour for 7 straight years. Raising it now is the best way to help the 5 million working poor. They'd rather work than live on welfare, and they deserve a decent wage. Tune into them on this Labor Day, Al, and tune out the executive suite propaganda.
Ted, you continue to dong on the relationship between poverty and the minimum wage. The two ain't related. They don't even live in the same house. The last minimum wage increase occurred in 1981. The actual value of that wage has fallen by 25% since 1981. If raising the minimum wage really keeps people out of poverty, then the number of those in poverty should have gone up since 1981. But guess what? The numbers have dropped. Very few minimum wage earners live in poverty. 7 out of every 10 minimum wage workers are members of families with incomes over 1.5 times the poverty level. Raising the minimum wage does not help the working poor. The raising of prices and the loss of job opportunities will actually hurt them. And that is just exactly what will happen with your hefty, lefty increase idea, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again next on School Prayer. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. School kids are heading back to school. They ought to be able to say a little prayer once they get there. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, I remain convinced that our nation's founders, and certainly the framers of our Constitution, would be stunned and dismayed by our modern-day treatment of prayer in school. Sure, the separation of church and state is absolutely fundamental, but we're not understanding the Constitution when we ban prayer from our schools. Our platform takes a stand in favor of allowing students this small but oh-so-important opportunity. The education of our children involves more than just reading, writing, and arithmetic, if they get that sometimes. They must have the right, if they wish, for just a moment of reflection, meditation, or prayer without either coercion or ridicule. We're not talking about state-sponsored religion. We're talking about giving students the right to recognize their own deep beliefs at some point during their school day. Not too sinister, is it really, Ted?
Al, you right-wing zealots go too far when you reject a moment of silence as a compromise in school prayer. You want government officials to write government prayers and make children recite them out loud. Those are police state tactics, Al. That's not separation of church and state. It's not what the Constitution says or what the Supreme Court ruled. Americans are religious people, Al, but we're also tolerant of other people's faith. You wouldn't make every child wear a size 5 shoe, Al. Why make them say the same prayer? Even if you do come up with a common denominator prayer, Al, all it will say is to whom it may concern. When the Supreme Court ruled in 1962, President Kennedy quieted the controversy by urging Americans to pray more at home and in their churches and synagogues. It took courage to say that, Al, but a quarter of a century later, it's still good advice. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a waiting period for handgun purchases. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A mandatory waiting period can keep handguns out of the hands of killers and drug pushers. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you're usually a gunslinger for the National Rifle Association, but hold your fire this time. Don't join the NRA's misguided effort to shoot down a good law enforcement idea that even President Reagan is for. It's the Brady Amendment, to require a 7-day waiting period before handguns are sold. It's named for Jim Brady, the president's press secretary wounded in the 1981 assassination attempt. The Brady Amendment is no problem for sportsmen and law-abiding citizens, Al. They're willing to wait a few days while handgun applications are checked by police, so the weapons aren't sold to drug pushers and other criminals. Hardcore criminals will still get handguns illegally, but at least let's stop drug addicts from walking into gun stores and walking out with handguns. How do you answer Sarah Brady when she calls and asks NRA Al to vote for the Brady Amendment?
Hold it, Ted. You don't need a rifle to fire a low shot. That was one. Crime statistics show that the waiting period has no effect on lowering the rate of violent crimes involving handguns. Most criminals obtain their weapons through the black market or criminal sources. Those who use handguns and committing a crime won't usually be buying them from a legitimate dealer. This is a gut-hard issue, Ted, best dealt with by the individual states. Of course, in Massachusetts, your own naive Governor Michael Dukakis has campaigned for an all-out ban on all handgun ownership by the people. How did he put it? He would, quote, disarm the state. Wow. That may sell big in Mass, Ted, but in other parts of this country, that one will lose elections. You watch old Mike duck and run on that one when the campaign heats up. Stick with that stuff. He loses, and he should. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Politicians across the country are already hitting the campaign trail, and campaign reform should be a top priority. We'll face off after this. Ted, any effort at real campaign finance reform might start with looking at political action committees, PACs. The bill pushed by you Senate Democrats would allow PACs to give $10,000 per candidate per election cycle, same as current law. It would allow PACs to contribute $31 million directly to Senate candidates, and you moralists would increase House-related PAC spending by 50%. But no, you don't stop there. You would let PACs contribute unlimited sums to political parties. Why won't you go after those PACs, Ted? Could it be because all five of 1987's top congressional PAC men are Democrats? The American people really do want real PAC reform. Why don't you let them have it, instead of just kidding them along?
Al, you stand 6'7", and you're the height of chutzpah. You right-wingers spent the last 3 years filibustering against campaign finance reform, and now you have the nerve to criticize Democrats falsely for not opposing PACs? We are for PAC reform, Al, and plenty of it. For years, we've supported drastic cutbacks in PAC contributions and their corrosive influence in political campaigns. Al, you just never read the Democratic proposal you were filibustering against. Tough restriction on PACs were right there in big print, along with strict ceilings on campaign spending and other steps to clamp down on corruption and clean up the election process. In fact, Al, you often sing a different tune on PACs. In 1985, the Senate voted 84-7 to restrict PAC contributions. You were one of the hardcore seven who voted against reform. Pack it in, Al. You don't know up from down on PACs. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on long-term nursing care for the elderly. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senior citizens deserve help with long-term care. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you may not be ready for a nursing home, but millions of senior citizens are, and they can't get help because they can't afford it. We're heading for a crisis in the 1990s as the elderly population soars. Long-term care, either in the home or in a nursing home, is the unfinished business of Social Security, Al. The problem is that Medicare pays for hospital and physician care, but it doesn't pay for nursing care. So millions of families are living on the edge as spouses and children struggle desperately to care for aging loved ones who can no longer care for themselves. Private insurance can't do the job, Al, because too many people get left out. But Medicare insurance can, because a broad national program will cover everyone at premiums they can afford. Long-term care is essential, Al. You may need it yourself someday, but millions of senior citizens need it now.
Well, we'll all need it someday, Ted. You're talking about regrinding the Pepper Bill. That's the $9 billion buck boondoggle the Democratic House defeated earlier this summer. Long-term care is surely the most important health care issue for the elderly. We need to financially assist those who cannot afford such care. But the old tired Democrat proposal for broad, unrestrained federal spending will only spread our resources so very thin. But then again, you guys always ogle tax increases to make up the difference. The end result? Too little assistance to too darn many people and an increased tax burden on the elderly and the citizens and their children. We need to join a strong federal program for needy older persons with a private sector commitment to cover those who can afford to pay their own way. You always promise a pie in the sky, Ted, but it ends up in your face. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson, President Reagan's personal efforts to promote democracy around the world are really paying off. You might say we have a revolution, a good one. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, just 10 years ago, just 1/4 of those persons in Latin America were living under a democratic government. Today, nearly 90% of those citizens have the benefits of democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the right to vote. In the Eastern Bloc countries, we see the concept of political democracy emerging as issues like market economies are being discussed in Hungary, Poland, and the Soviet Union. We can point to real progress in China, too. All developments that were inconceivable just a few years ago. You've been throwing brickbats, words, and sticks and stones at the Reagan foreign policy for the past 7 years. America and democracy are leading the world, and it all happened without you, Ted.
Al, the Reagan administration deserves credit for those pluses in foreign policy, but you forgot to mention quite a few minuses. There's that little matter of illegal trading arms for hostages with Iran and secretly channeling the proceeds to the Contras in Nicaragua. Oliver North's going on trial, Al, so Iran-Contragate won't go away soon. We still haven't got the answer to the all-important question of the presidential campaign. What did Vice President Bush know, and when did he know it? We could ask the same question about the fiasco in Panama and the administration's corrupt dealing with drug-running General Noriega. And if you're honest about the Reagan-Bush record on foreign policy, Al, you can't overlook the blunders in the Middle East, especially the Marines left unprotected in Beirut. Don't forget South Africa either, Al. Your right-wing policy made America the last best friend of apartheid. You'll never catch a Dukakis administration doing that, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.